prophet Isaiah, chapter 37. I'll begin at the first verse. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent up Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, Thus this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and I will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah saith unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish. And he heard a saying concerning Tirzah, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard that the kings of Assyria have done to all lands of destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, in Goshen, and Haran, and Rizpah, and the children of Eden, which are at Tel Lazar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Zarephath, Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of whom of all the kingdoms of the earth thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which had sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. When Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down all the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? How have I brought it to pass, and that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps? Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass of the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up unto mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and thy bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back in the way which thou camest. And it shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield or cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went to return and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Isharah, his god, that Damarlik, the Sherezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenium, and Arhad, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we can see here how it is that those who worship the true God in due time, God avenges his people. But notice, it isn't always that the Lord will maybe even answer our prayer right when we think that he should. I couldn't help but notice here, he says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat of the fruit thereof. So you see, there is a lapse of time, and God doesn't always move so swiftly. There's an old saying, the wheels of God grind slow, I think it says, is the old saying. And this often is the more type of a trial for us to test whether we have the patience. But isn't it a wonderful thought and feeling in our hearts that God hears and sees and knows all things? And God, with God, there's nothing hid. God knows. And each of us in our hearts should be comforted with that thought, that this Almighty God is our God and we are his children. Whatever happens to us, he full well knows our every need, and he will sooner or later be there to provide. So, beloved, it just occurs to us here now by the Spirit of God what a great and wonderful God he is and how we should appreciate him. But there is a way that we should appreciate our God, showing forth our patience, our confidence that God will take care of us. We might sing hymn 107. 107, as many verses as you choose. Pray together. Once more, we thank thee for the opportunity to assemble together around thy word, and we pray thou wouldst assemble with us through thy Spirit to give inspiration. We thank thee thou hast given us bodies wherewith we could sing hymns of thanks and praise to thy high and holy name. We thank thee for the opportunity to sing together, to pray together, to worship thee together, and to be together. We pray, O Lord, thou wouldst in thy love manifest thyself as only thou canst manifest thyself, and reveal thyself to awaken our hearts that we surely be not deceived in any way or manner, but rather we be truly alive in the Spirit, walking in the light, walking in the truth, and pleasing Thee in all that we do and undertake. We ask Thee, then, Thou wouldst give that which is needful, that by the power of Thy might and the virtues that Thou might impart to us, we might be an honor unto Thee. Once more we pray a blessing on this congregation. Bless them, every one, who would give of themselves to add some Christ-like, holy living that can be beneficial to another, that our friends might be attracted to come to be a child of God and worship with them likewise, that they may, with hand and heart, join together in serving Thee while here upon this earth, finding a comfort therein, even as we all pray, Thou remember us in our life and station, to provide that which is needful, that we might all work out our soul's salvation by the power of Thy might, to the glory of Thy name. O Heavenly Father, we pray Thee, Thou wouldst provide whatever is needful, even if it is admonition or correction. We welcome it and ask for it, that we should be prepared and ready, should Thou come even at the twinkling of an eye, that we would surely welcome the sight of Thy coming in the clouds in heaven. So, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as we have that same hope and we have that same desire to serve Thee, we pray then Thou wouldst hear our prayer as we bind our hearts together in prayer in unison to Thee, our great God. If Thou seest anything in our life that would be displeasing unto Thee, we pray Thee that Thou wouldst bring it to our attention and give of Thy Spirit that we might correct that which can yet be corrected, and that we might always and ever be found in Thy love and mercy. Oh, but that we might rejoice in Thy love and mercy and be thankful. So, Heavenly Father, bless these our dear brothers as they have been a blessing to us. Bless Thou them with Thine own self. And as we are parted these many miles and as we return home again, we ask that when we kneel to pray, Thou wouldst give ear to our supplications for one another, that wherever we might be, we might find grace in Thy sight, and Thou wouldst give ear to our prayers for one another. We humble ourselves now and ask Thee once more for an afternoon blessing. Thou dost know the needs of our souls, and therefore we commit it unto Thee with that confidence Thou wilt provide. Oh, we thank Thee, and we want to express yet how we love Thee because Thou hast loved us. We, being unworthy, give ourselves into Thy hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make the that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye built their sepulchres. Therefore, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. As he said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him. Dear ones, I guess the message that the Lord is giving us here this afternoon is really perhaps as important as anything we find in the Bible, because we can be ever so religious if in our heart we are not pure and clean and worship God truly. Then all of our religion is for nothing. And the Lord here is trying to teach these people this thought. And as we think about these things, I don't think there is a thought that the Christian can have that is more comforting than the thought that God knows my thoughts. God knows what I think. God knows that I wish I could do it better. If we're not trying to hide something, but if we can really acknowledge that our God is an all-seeing God and our heart is open before Him, I can't think of a better thought for anyone. Because if we truly harbor such a thought, then we're not very quick to go astray in any way or in any sense of the word, but we are going to sincerely try to do what is right. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, as we know them, were of those who were, as the Lord surely described them, hypocrites. They were trying to make people believe they were something that they weren't. And that, far be it from us that we would want to do anything like this, that we would try to leave an impression on people to let them think that we are ever so religious a person and even do good deeds. I think there is much that can be done to impress people, and they are noteworthy. But, beloved, if the condition isn't right of the heart, that's the part that really counts. And this is what the Lord is trying to tell these people, and I'm sure He's trying to tell it to us. Now, if we have been a child of God for any length of time, we have made that experience and know how that really is. that if our heart isn't quite right, and maybe we have a conversation with someone and our heart isn't quite right, we don't feel right. On the other hand, if our heart is right and we go and speak to that person, we feel right after the conversation is over with. And chances are, if we have something to say to this person, we will say it out of the depth of our heart, in all sincerity and honesty. We will feel good afterwards. Herein lies the secret of being a real child of God. And I have to think time and time again, we are believers, and what do we believe? Well, we believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what was the and what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's very simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ is peace. It's peace. And if we don't have peace, beloved, there's really something lacking. And we really need to do something, if we don't have peace, to make peace. And that takes a little doing sometimes. Sometimes the expression is a little doing, and maybe I should say it takes a lot of doing to make peace if there isn't peace. But, beloved, it has to start from within our own heart. Here's where it has to start. When we think about this, you know, we all have made the same experience, I'm sure, that we think there needs to be something done, and we think all the problem lies upon the other person. How often do we hear said that a soul that comes to repentance, he is not looking at what the other person needs to do when he goes there to make peace? What he's doing, he is looking at himself, what he needs to do to go to that other person to make peace. And have we ever heard of it with our ears that there was failure when this was approached this way? I have never heard of it that there was a failure where our soul found the fault within his own heart and he acknowledged it within himself, that he went then to make peace where there was peace to be made, but what he came back and, well, it was, I'm so surprised, it went so easy. And so the gospel of our Lord and Savior is, as the Lord himself says, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I had experience here about 2 months ago. A young person came to repent. And this is always good news, you know. This is always good news. We rejoice and welcome them and try our best to help them all we can. But it didn't go a day or two, and this dear soul came back and said, "Oh, it's so hard." And the moment she said, "It's so hard," I thought to myself, uh-oh. When the Lord said, "My burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light," then what is there about it that is so hard? It was the condition of the heart that made it hard. If the condition of the heart was one of complete surrender, the Lord would have stepped in, and the Holy Spirit would have stepped in, and it would have went so easy, because the other ones come to me and they say, "Oh, it went so easy, it went easier than I ever thought." So the secret is what is in our own heart. And the Lord here is trying to tell these people something. And I believe he spoke over their heads. I don't believe they had any inkling of what he really said. "Now do the Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." Isn't that just like the natural man? It certainly is. The natural man, he wants to go to church, and he gets all dressed up like a church member, so to speak, and make himself look real nice and presentable. And this is noteworthy. We're glad for that. They come to church. We're glad, aren't we? We might hear something that would prick the heart, that would do something for their heart, if the heart hasn't been yet made clean. And so we don't put on a front. We don't do that. We look first in our heart, and in our heart, there's where the trouble is. And invariably, the soul will come and say, I feel bad. I feel convicted. I feel condemned. I'm afraid to die. There's where the trouble is. It's what was in the heart. And if that is taken care of, the outside just takes care of it of itself. You know, there is a wonderful, miraculous change made that the world will even acknowledge and say, look at the change they've made. Don't have to tell them to do anything. They just do it because the heart has made a change and the Lord's work has been done and the pride has been taken care of. He speaks here of ravening and wickedness. That takes in a lot of territory, doesn't it? I'm sure that pride covers all this up. You know, it is almost astounding, unbelievable, that the man who's living in the most wicked sins is covering it up with pride. They put on such a proud look to make people, to try to deceive people, I guess. But I really think they're deceiving themselves more than anyone. And so I often have to think of the wickedness of pride, the deceitfulness, I guess I should say, of pride. What it does to people, it fools them. They don't realize that they need to do something to take care of that pride. Now then, they may be people that have lived just a pretty good life, and they might take upon themselves the stance that they are pretty good, and because of that they lift their head pretty high, and pride begins to show because I haven't done this and I haven't done that. I have had them tell me I haven't told any lies. I haven't didn't steal anything from anybody, and I didn't say anything I shouldn't have to somebody. And you have to say, well, no, that's just pretty good, isn't it? But the pride, how about the pride? God says, I hate pride. God can't use pride in a person. You know, a proud person, you can't do anything with him. God can't. If a person is proud, God can't do anything with that person. He won't bend. He won't give to the spirit that God's going to lead him with. And that's the only way God has to lead us, is with his spirit. And so these things take in a large territory. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is on the outside make the inside also? And so we should be concerned about that we are children of God through and through. Often have to think about that. Someone asks us on the street, wherever we might be, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? We can stand up to them and say, yes, that's what I am. And if yes, that is what I am, then he is one through and through. If he can stand up and look someone in the eye and say, yes, that's what I am, there is no deviation in his thinking, and he doesn't yield, but he is what he is because he is a child of God, and the Spirit of God dwells within him. And the work of God has been done within that heart. That's the secret of being a child of God, for if he is one through and through. Rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to have leave the other undone. Now it appears here that these Pharisees were doing these good deeds of giving one way or another, and however we want to interpret that. I think we shall look at it the way it might occur in our lives, and that is the good deeds that we do. I think what the Lord wants us to do first is to come to the truth. Now, when he says judgment, I think that means we must judge our own hearts to there decide what is right and what is wrong, and that we cleave to that which is right, the judgments of God. And if once our judgments are right, then the good deeds that we might want to do will have some reward in the eyes of God. I have to think of one place where the Lord spoke about these people who were praying on the street corner. A little bit the same here as we think about it. The Lord had somewhat to say about that. He says, let's not be praying on the street corner, but let's go home and pray in the closet. If we would pray on the street corner, or I believe it also says in the synagogue to pray, he says, verily ye have ye reward. Okay, there is that pride showing itself, because these people were seeking to do this because of their pride. That's what caused them to want to do it. If he didn't have any pride, there'd be no reason to be out there to do it that way. So these are the things, beloved, that we want to consider in our life. How we want the Lord to work in our hearts, and our hearts shall be led by the Spirit, and it be a genuine serving of our Lord and Savior. Not to expose ourselves to that point that there is any pride, but a true humility. Not to think too much of ourselves. And if we don't think too much of ourselves, we are sooner to trust in the Lord, and we are sooner to turn to Him and ask and beg of Him for His help and strength. But if we are proud, we're not so soon to pray for it, because we will be self-sufficient. That's why God can't use us if we have this in our hearts. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. See, there it is again. Another way that they were exposing their pride, or their how they were proud of their own selves. And now the Lord is not impressed with that. And when we think about it in our own life, any measure of pride that we might have we, any of us, seen any good thing come out of any pride we've had where we have thought too much of ourselves? I don't believe that we've seen any good thing come out of that. But if we can humble ourselves and esteem our brother higher than ourselves, and we feel our soul's deep need of the leading and the guiding of God, it seems like we will perhaps do things, and we won't even know that we did them. It's like when the Lord also said, you didn't go to visit me when I was in prison. You didn't visit me when I was sick. When didn't we do that? I believe those who were in their own hearts proud, they thought they were doing it all along. And the other ones, he approached, he says, well, when did we do that? When did we do that? I really think, dear brethren, that if we have the right mind, we will just automatically do things we will be unaware of, say things perhaps that will be helpful to some other people. It happens that way. Once in a while, once in a great while, it comes back to us that we might have said something that was a help to someone. Maybe 20, 30 years later, they will say, I remember. So, dearly beloved, oh, but that the Spirit of God be the inspiration of our lives. Oh, but that the Spirit of God will adorn our hearts, and that we take a small esteem of our own self, that the Spirit of God can work mightily, and the glory of God can appear in our lives. Because if we do it, there's no glory in that. There is only glory in that which is instigated by the Spirit of God itself. And if we take credit for it, I believe the blessing will be marred, or it will be gone. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. And here again, we can easily see this in our hearts. When we do go out to a cemetery, we really don't see what's in these graves, but we can imagine. And what's in there, we can glad is covered up. Now, it takes the same, we have to look at it in the same perspective in our hearts. And people are glad if some of their evil deeds are covered up and people can't see it. People don't know about it, what is in their hearts. But, oh, beloved, that kind of a person is not then glad that God can see in the heart. But we, if our hearts are pure, and if our hearts condemn us not, then we will be of those who are glad God can see in the heart. And I have to repeat that, because it seems like that is one of the greatest comforts that should be for the child of God. And so the graves that are full of dead men's bones, and who knows what happens to the flesh, that we're glad is covered up. It can be compared to only the evils of this world, which someday God is really going to do away. And there's going to be a real purifying, because he's going to burn this entire world and all the evil works that are parts of it. Oh, but that then will be a gladness and a joy in our hearts that we can escape and have that promise in our hearts to take part of that real resurrection, that we might escape before God shall end what is in this evil world. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. I have to think that these lawyers are somewhat comparable to a hired servant. A hired servant can be one who can preach the gospel ever so good, but his own life is not one whereby he himself has been converted and changed, so that it is the life reflecting the life of our Lord and Savior. In this case, it appears that he was criticizing these people inasmuch as they themselves were perhaps preaching, but they weren't doing. Their life was not fruitful. And the Lord wants fruit of us. And surely all of us, he wants fruit. And I can believe especially of those who minister the word. He shall expect of those who minister the word the real, genuine fruit, whereby that word can come forth in its truth the way it is, and not being hindered by a heart that is not upright. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. And so they here acknowledge what their forefathers did, not being good. Oh, dear ones, thanks to God that he has given it to us, the opportunity which is ours. Here we can be together as children of the Most High God. Here can we have that confidence in each other, that we are the children of God. And we do have that trust that God is satisfied with us. We can be a witness in this world. And our children and our friends can see in us the light of God. And oh, how thankful should we be to our great God that he gives it to us, this opportunity that is ours, to meet and greet one another, to be an encouragement one to another. Thanks be to God that he has so provided it that while we are here upon this earth, from time to time, we can be refreshed. We shall never be able to thank God enough for all things as he has seen fit long, long time ago to provide for every generation down to our generation, and that we are yet living in this generation, reaping the benefits of a God who foresaw the need. So, dear ones, when we kneel to pray, surely there should come forth out of our heart a praise and an honor and a glory to a God that is worthy of all we can bring him. And we trust that from this heart, which has been cleansed and made pure, God can accept of us these praises and these honor. And someday he will recognize us when we'll be in dire need, when our end will come. Now, we don't know when that end shall be, but dear ones, we know it is coming of a certainty. One by one, we are taken out of this life. And may it be then that the preparation has been made. And when the end comes, we won't wish, I wish I would have done this yet. I wish I would have done that yet. We've got the time now. We've got the time today. And if there's something to be done and our brother or our sister sits here in the audience, are we going to let him go home without speaking to him? So really, beloved, the time is today. We've heard it over and over again. The time is today. And if there is some unfinished work, this is the day. We know that the Lord has created 7 days, six in which to work. That 6 days was the physical work. But I am convinced that the spiritual work is 7 days, every day. And to that end, may we give glory to God that he will give the strength.
Dear ones, to summarize the messages that we have heard this morning and again this afternoon, really couldn't come in a few words if it wouldn't be for the scripture that we have before us. But I do believe it can be summarized in just a few words by the very scripture that Brother Leroy has read to us and has meditated on this afternoon, and it would be found here in this 49th verse, where the good Lord said, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute." And that is the feeling that is left with my heart after having the same privilege as all of you did today, just to sit under the sound of the gospel of a messenger that God has ordained. And today has been directed by our good fortune into our midst to speak the wisdom of God. And those words that have been spoken has been God's word, and that's wisdom. And might it be that all of us will be the gaining benefactors from taking to heart the word that Brother Leroy has shared with us, that it starts in our own heart. And if we can indeed in this life look at our own heart in the light of God's word, there will be a purification and a sanctification process that will take place, but it only can take place if it's on the basis of our own thirst and our own hunger, and we recognize indeed that we have our own need. In these few verses that Brother Leroy shared with us, the Lord spoke words that those people accused him with before the conversation was over. He said, "You have made a reproach out of us," all because he spoke what he did. And it was the intent of the Lord to accomplish just that in their life, because he was the one who could see in their heart, and he knew they had need of it. But to just observe how sly the enemy works, and how subtle man is, and how he falls prey to the enemy, we find then in the very last verse where it said, "Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might have to accuse him." And that is going to transpire as time goes on. It does in this day and time, where the messengers of God, which is the wisdom of God, there will be those that give themselves over to the enemy, will lay in wait to see if accusation and charges can't be made. But sad to say, it's really against the wisdom of God, and God don't intend for it to be that way. So today we have been given ears to hear, we have had the opportunity to hear, and we've been given minds that we can receive, and today we can all gain and benefit from it. And to that end, may the Lord bless His word of life into all of our hearts to supply the many needs that we have. One of the brethren might select the hymn.
Number 88.
Let us return thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we trust at the close of our afternoon service that as we lift our voices to Thee, that we can be filled and given a measure of Thy true Spirit unto prayer, that our prayer might be such, first of all, that it can be to Thy great name's praise and honor and glory. And even though the adequacy of words do fail, when it comes to giving Thee a full expression of the thankfulness that we have in our heart, that we have been purchased with Thine own blood, and that there was a time in our life when judgment was placed upon us so that we could be made to recognize that of ourselves and our own righteousness, and with the very best of our own efforts, would we ever be given the key to open heaven's door, but that Thou didst make us to realize that from dust we were taken, and unto dust we will return. And yet Thou didst share with us, and Thou didst even then at that time give us faithful brethren of old that were not reluctant to minister the gospel truth unto all of our hearts. And therein we could hear the story and the need of repentance and becoming converted. And that Thou couldst include us into Thy death and suffering. And we could be made to realize that without it, we would never be included into that heavenly realm. And all through our life to this point, at least for many of us, we have been made to realize, and today we are thankful that to take up the cross and to renounce sin, Satan, and the world, to deny ourselves and to follow Thee is the way to that eternal land and that land of endless day. And so we thank Thee, dear Lord, that even to this time Thou dost still send yet among us faithful brethren that do not minister to the itching of the ear, but share with all of us a gospel message that could lend itself and will accomplish its intended purpose if the doors of our hearts are open to receive it, to become sanctified, to become yet more pure, and to become yet more willing cross-bearers. We are grateful, dear Lord, that Thou hast given us faithful brethren. And now at this time, as a congregation, we want to thank Thee for our beloved brother Leroy, who was willing to come into our midst and to labor today in and among Thy people in Thy vineyard, who we believe He loves, and who He has a longing in His heart that the words spoken today by Him will accomplish no other purpose than to help every one of us to finally reach those eternal portals. And so we thank Thee, Father in heaven, that Thou hast given him into our service and into the circle of shepherd and the bishops to labor to the glory and to the honor of Thy high and holy name. And we pray that Thou wilt reward him, that Thou wilt remember his beloved helpmate, who all too often we fail to include in our prayers, and the loved ones who have become his traveling companions on this trip. Mayest Thou also remember them with whatever blessings might be needful, necessary, both for soul and body. And as we conclude now our service this afternoon, not only do we want to thank Thee, but we want to ask, dear Lord, that there might be a continuation of a full measure of Thy Holy Spirit to indwell every true and upright and faithful heart, and to direct each and all in the ways of life and truth, and that all of us will have the spiritual ambition to strive for those noble and heavenly attributes which Thou alone can give, and that in our years of our life there can be a generous victory and success in the dispensing of the fruits of the Spirit. Hold us close to Thee. The storms of life are ever present. They press on every side. But might it be that through our loyalty to Thee, Thou wilt ever find an open way to keep us under the shadow of Thy defenseless wing. And if we can just abide there, truly we will find safekeeping. And Thou wilt continue to be to us a fortress and a rock in time of need, wherein we cast our anchor with Thee, and therein we have an anchor of faith that will hold, and that we will need not to fear that which man can do, but only fear what Thou, our Lord, can do. So we commit now our meeting to Thee. We pray a blessing upon each and every one of us, for our needs are many. And we want to remember our dear ones who have visited us and who soon will bid us farewell, and they will be on their homeward journey. We want to intercede that if it can be Thy will, that Thou wilt share very divinely with them Thy traveling mercies, and that Thou wilt protect them and accompany them again until they arrive safely at their destiny and at their home. Father in heaven, we commit it to Thee, our great God, and we trust that our service today has been an honor to Thee, for we came this morning only to worship Thee, the all-wise Creator, and to give Thee reverence of which Thou art so deserving. And might it be, dear Lord, that the words of life will now be words of life, a wellspring of water that will spring up within our hearts and will sustain us as we pursue the way of life. We ask it and we thank Thee, dear Lord Jesus, in Thy holy name we pray. Amen.